This week on the Indiana Bible College Podcast, we have our guest speaker, Brother Poitras.
I'm very pleased that Brother Poitras has agreed to be with us during this missions conference. I'm thankful for his ministry. I'm thankful for his burden and his vision. And I'd like for us to stand and thank the Lord. And let's welcome Brother Poitras to this pulpit, the Director of Education and AIM for Global Missions, United Pentecostal International, my good friend, James Poitras.
And could you clap your hands for the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Amen. As I came into chapel today, I tried to make my way around the room and greet as many people as possible because I realized that one day you could be the general superintendent of the United Pentecostal Church International. You could be the general director of Global Missions. You could be the director of the North America Missions Program. You could be one of our missionaries. And when you're at that, I want you to remember that when I was in chapel, I came by and said hello to you. So God bless you this morning. I appreciate every one of you. The book of Psalms, chapter number 90 and verse number 10. Psalm chapter 90, verse number 10. It has been my joy to be here in this missions conference. And I was thinking earlier this morning when I was praying, when it comes to brother and sister R.K. Rodenbusch, I can sincerely say that I could think of no other person that has done more for global missions than the Rodenbusch family. I can say that sincerely. There are other great men and women, and I'm sure that maybe they have done equally as much or have come pretty close to that. But in my life, I can think of no other person this morning that I would consider that has done any more for missions than brother and sister R.K. Rodenbusch. And it's an honor to be counted as your friend this morning. And what I have to say, I would like to dedicate to you and Sister Rodenbusch because you have meant the world to me. You have meant the world to me, and I honor you this morning, and I probably will talk a little bit more about you. I'm a little bit nervous this morning because I've got all of these pages and a limited amount of time, and I know I'm not going to be able to cover everything, all of my great points. I'm not going to get to them all, so I may as well just speak to you from my heart this morning. I remember when Brother and Sister Rodenbusch came to preach the graduation in Nigeria. I think that was in 1986. He was preaching on a Sunday morning. It was the graduation, and it was about 100 degrees Fahrenheit in the room, and they had a fan that was moving overhead, and Brother Rodenbusch was preaching up a storm, and he had all of his pages of notes, and all of a sudden, that wind from the fan caught those notes, and those notes went everywhere over the floor. And I thought this morning, Lord, you know, I want to emulate Brother Rodenbusch, but not to that extent. So I'm glad there's no fan up there this morning. And he did manage to get all those notes back, did a tremendous job. I've never told anybody this at all, but it is a true confession. When we went back to the house and he left his notes there in the kitchen on the counter and he went into another room, I thought, I really want to see how he does his business. So I snuck over there and I started flipping through all of the notes and looked at where it had been preached before and different comments there. And it took me probably 30 years to repent, but that's what I did, Brother Rodenbusch, and I honor you very much this morning. Psalm chapter 90, verse number 10. This is a scripture that I've had on my heart for this conference for some time now. Going back to the prayer of Moses in the book of Psalms, and it's considered to be one of the oldest psalms that you have among the 150 psalms. And kind of get the picture. Moses is praying this prayer, and he's looking back over his life. He's looking back over the last 40 years of his time, and what he sees is literally thousands of graves in the wilderness. That's what he's seeing. And this is what he says. The days of our years are 80 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Psalm chapter 90, verse 10, and you're like, Brother Poitras, come on. Can't you go ahead and preach something that's just a little bit more encouraging to us this morning? Basically, what the psalmist is here saying is, Lord, I want you to go ahead and teach me to number my days. Teach me to number my days, verse number 12, that we may apply our hearts with or unto wisdom. Teach us to realize that life is short and that our days are extremely important. And the point this morning is, teach me to number my days. As I'm standing here today, I did the calculations, and this is day 20,610 for me. So if you forget my name, just remember my number. By the way, Melinda, I need you to come up here. I need your help. Because I was trying to figure out a name, a title for this message this morning, and I wanted to call it, What's Your Number? And all the way to IBC this morning, Melinda was trying to teach me the proper lingo of asking, what's your number?
Can I get your number? Can I have it?
You may be seated. What's your number? Also in the book of Lamentations, a book that is so dreary, it's so dark, it's so dull. Right in the middle of the book of Lamentations, chapter number 3, verses number 22 and 23, the writer reads this way or writes this way. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Every single day is a new day for you. When I look at the scripture that says, teach me to number my days, there's no way that I can really look into my future and determine the number of days that I still have on this earth. Even though the scripture says maybe 70 years, if you're strong, you're especially blessed, maybe 80 years, there's no way that I can stand up here this morning and say, Lord, I want you to teach me to number my days. I want to know exactly how many more days I have to live on planet earth, because I'm going to make my future count for you. The only way that I can determine to make my future count for him is if I make sure that my present is counting for him. The only way that I can really make sure that my future is going to count for the Lord Jesus Christ is to make sure that my past up until this moment has really counted for him. Teach me to number my days. There's no way that I can really look into the future and say, well, I've got 5,000 days left. I've got 7,000 days left. I've got 9,000 days left. Because the scripture also teaches us that I should look at the day that I have. That this day is sufficient for the evil thereof. This day is sufficient for the things that God has prepared for me today. So I recognize that in my life, that if you have an extraordinary life, and I believe that the Lord wants you to have an extraordinary life. An extraordinary life is made up of a whole lot of ordinary days that are lived out in extraordinary ways. An extraordinary life, let me repeat it for you this morning. It's made up of a whole lot of just plain old ordinary days when you get up in the morning and you say, God, this is the day that you have made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. This is a new day. It's a clean slate. I get to live for you again today, and I give you praise and glory and honor. And I want you to teach me to number my days. I want my days to count for you. Because I recognize that an extraordinary life is made up of a whole lot of ordinary days that are lived out in faithful ways. They are lived out in faithful ways. And I'm thankful to the Lord for the life that he has given to me. When I think about teaching myself, teaching myself to number my days. There are a number of things that come to mind that I could use this morning. Maybe it's an altar. There are good things that happen at Pentecostal altars. There are good things that happen in this chapel at these altars. An altar is not always spelled A-L-T-A-R-S. There are times in my life when I come to a Pentecostal altar and I say, God, here I am. I want you to teach me to number my days today. I want my life to count today. So no matter what it is in my life, I want you to alter it. I want you to alter what's going on in my life because I've got to be usable for your kingdom's glory. That's why Paul said, I beg you therefore, brethren, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is but your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you can prove at a Pentecostal altar what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want him to alter my life. He teaches me to number my days, not through looking forward, but through looking back. That certain God moments can be defined this way: God plus the moment. There are certain milestones, mile markers that could come in your way in your life that will teach you to number your days, not based on what's happening ahead, but what has happened already. I cannot thank God for my future until I have thanked God for my present and I have praised him for my past. So maybe it's in the milestone, the God plus the moment, the mile plus the stone. Or maybe, like they said in 1510, maybe it's in the hourglass. The hour plus the glass. Teach me to number my days. Teach me to number my days. Social media, so it must be correct. On Instagram, someone wrote this: Michael and Janie, married November 6, 2004, in Jesus' name. And this is what they wrote underneath their caption, underneath their picture: when a brick is laid in your patio, becomes the focal point and reminder of doing all in Jesus' name. I don't know whether it was the husband that wrote this or the wife that wrote this. I would suggest a few different words, but this is what they wrote. For 12 years and more, we've come to be tried and fried. But we can still muster the words to say, happy anniversary. Now, I know some of you guys are going to steal that. Make sure you give credit. It's Instagram. It's copyright. 12 years, tried and fried. You may look back over your life already, and you may feel like you have been tried and fried. But just muster up the courage this morning to understand that it's new every morning. It's new every morning. Your walk with God is absolutely new every morning. There's an Arabic proverb that teaches that the day, that the dawn does not come twice to awaken a person. Sister Poitras, remember that. You asked me to turn off your alarm clock this morning. 10 minutes later, she's still sleeping in that comfortable room. I take my folder and I start, making a breeze over her, trying to wake her up. Just remember that the Arabic proverb teaches that the dawn does not come twice to awaken a person. Opportunity knocks but once. An opportunity that is missed will eventually bring ample repentance. And then the author went on to say this: I have one chance to impact my world. Another person wrote, are there opportunities you are neglecting today that will soon vanish forever? An old rabbi used to speak to his people and say, I want you to go ahead and repent the day before you die. And his people would say, "But Rabbi, we know not the day that we're going to die." And he would say, "Well, go ahead and repent today. Because you don't have tomorrow. You don't have the promise of tomorrow. What you have is today. What you have is right now. The decisions that you can make are right now." A legendary story talks about three apprentice demons. Now, I didn't say it was a real story, by the way, so don't use it in your classes. A legendary story is told of three apprentice demons who were coming to earth for their very first assignment. They met Satan and they asked him, "What strategy is it that we could use?" And he said, "Well, what strategy do you intend to use?" So the first little demon said, "I will tell people that there is no God." And Satan said, "That's simply not going to work, because they already know in their hearts of hearts that there is a God." So the second one thought he was very brilliant, just came out of a very important class. So he said, "Well, when I go down to earth, I'm going to tell them that there is no hell." And Satan said, "It's not going to work, because some of them are living a life of purgatory." If you feel like they're going through purgatory this morning, my advice to you is just don't stop. Keep on moving on. God has a plan for you. God is going to use you for his glory and honor. So the third little demon was asked the question, "What exactly are you going to do when you go down to the earth?" And that demon said, I'll just tell them that there is no hurry." And Satan said, "Exactly right. Perfect. You do that, because if you can convince them that there is no hurry, then you'll also find that millions of people will ruin their lives because they're just looking at the future and they're not considering the present, and they have not looked at where their past has brought them. I don't want to get to the end of my days and suffer the pain of neglect, because I just didn't have the pain of discipline in my life." Well, that was three all right, so I'm going to say that again. "I don't want to get to the end of my days, whenever that day comes, and really have to repent or experience the pain of neglect, because I refuse to live a life that was a life of discipline. Teach me to number my days. Teach me to number my days." It's my life. I can't really talk to you about your life. I have followed the Rodenbusch's life all the years that I've known them, and they have deeply impacted my life. In fact, when I look back over the God moments of my life, they usually have been right there. Now, baby, you've also been there, so I give you honor this morning. Thank you for going on the journey with me. But they've been there through those God moments, those stages, those hourglass moments in my life, or most of the moments in my life. So I really can't talk about your life this morning, but what I can tell you is a little bit about my life, and this is what I know. Your life is a gift from God. Your life is a gift from God. Your course in life is the assignment that God has given to you. And you can run that course with patience. And you can receive that crown in the end. It's my life, it's my course, and it's my ministry. I asked a young man one time that arrived on the AIM program, I asked him, "What is your ministry?" And he said, "Well, I don't know." He said, "They say that I'm a teacher." I have a question for you this morning. What is your ministry? If you don't know what your ministry is, I challenge you to find it out. What is the ministry? What is the course that God has set before you? What's the ministry that he's given to you? Brother Rodenbusch's ministry, Brother Sleva's ministry, Brother Kilman's ministry, Brother Turner's ministry, Brother Galleon's ministry. I really wish I could preach like you, by the way. But Brother Shirley's ministry, that's not me. What I've got is me. What I've got is called Jim Poitras. And a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. It's up to me to make sure that my name has a good reputation. But I can't copycat them, no matter how good they are. So he said, they say that I'm a teacher. And I said back to him, I didn't ask you what they say. I asked you, what is your ministry? And I will make it my number one assignment to make sure that you do not leave this field without recognizing what your ministry is. Maybe your ministry is to be a minister of a teaching kind. Maybe a teacher. Embrace that. God is going to use you. He's going to use you mightily in whatever area he has called you to do. So my life, it's my gift from God. My course, it's my assignment from God. My ministry, it is my gift back to God. Brother Jonathan, I want you to help me this morning. I gave you a little box, and I put a B on that box. Because in my life, maybe not in yours, but I do think it happens with every one of us. There's got to be a time of conversion. My conversion, let me just have that right here, brother. Just open it up, because it all starts with you, with your hourglass. The reason why it has a B on this, we got to be very careful, is because this is actually broken. And all of the sand in this particular hourglass, if we left it alone, it's just going to pour out on the ground. Because if your hourglass is broken this morning, and it has not been touched by God, and it has not been healed by God, the sand of your life, it's just wasting out on that ground. Now, I didn't realize when this came from Amazon that it was going to be broken, but it is. So I had to find some way to use it this morning. It's a broken hourglass. When I came to the Lord in 1979, and I know that is like ancient to you, it is like yesterday to me, I realized I did the math. Robbie's not here to help me this morning, but it's 13,500 days ago. To be exact, 13,505 days ago, I knelt at a Pentecostal altar, and I was totally broken by this world. I was battered, I was bruised, I was abused. And I'm not going to go into all of the details of that. But I knelt at an altar, a broken hourglass that really could not do anything for God until it was converted. I'm so glad that an 18-year-old young lady, her name is Lynn Jewett, invited me to church that Sunday night. Now she's a missionary in Guatemala, doing a great work for the Lord. I'm thankful that she cared enough to witness to me. It taught me a lot. If you can't do something for God here, do you really expect that you're going to do something for God somewhere else in the world? It's going to start right here. It's going to start right here at this altar. It's going to start right at your local church. So 13,505 days ago, I walked into a Pentecostal church, and it changed my life forever, and I don't want to ever, ever, ever be that again. I don't want to be that same thing again. You got that, Sister Poitras? That same thing. I don't want to be that same thing again, because God picked me up from a horrible pit. He put me upon a solid rock. He gave me a firm foundation. He took my eyes from off of the world. And he said, lift up your eyes and look unto the hills from whence cometh your help. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Knowing that he that began a good work in you is able to keep you unto the day of his coming. You do not walk by sight. You walk by faith. There ought to be more than five people clapping their hands right now. Your eye has not seen, your ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us at a Pentecostal altar. He picks you up. He puts you back together again. He makes you whole. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things become brand new. You can look at your past. You can look at the brokenness. And you can continue to break that glass over and over again yourself. And you do it because you choose to relive the past. I'm just going to use my brokenness, my broken glass, as some sort of stumbling block for me. Instead of saying, God, here's my broken hourglass. I want you to mend it. I want you to put it back together again. Because when you do everything and you do it right and you do it new. So yeah, it was true that probably my first message, I really thought that Brother Rodenbusch would have asked for that to preach it in some conference in Europe in the Middle East, but he didn't. And it was the parable of the geese that could not fly. You still got time. And Brother Shirley, you've been preaching good, but I can loan that one to you. Or Brother Turner, I'd be willing to give up and loan to you because I just want to be a servant for the Lord. I'd be willing to give up my second message to you, the five wise girls, the five foolish girls. And they took my message, and I think they wrote from my message, bad girls of the Bible. And it was so good that the sequel was, I think it was the sequel, they took it and they wrote, really bad girls of the Bible. If you happen to be a bad girl of the Bible this morning, repent. God can turn you around. He can use you for His glory and for His honor. I better move on from there because we do want lunch. And I know what Melinda sent me to the platform many, many years ago. She sent me a note, said, Dad, I'm starving. Preach quick. So my conversion, do we have an hourglass for that? That's the broken one. The second one, my missions career began on May 13th, 1983. That was 12,225 days ago. I think I arrived in missions on Friday the 13th. The first time I ever went home, it was on Friday the 13th. Let me tell you something, honey. You may feel that you've been born on an unlucky day. Maybe you're stepping into the Lord's service on an unlucky day. He can turn that unlucky day and turn it around for you. He can change your life around. A decision, that step in the right direction, could change your life forever. Arrived on Friday the 13th. It was 1 week before my 23rd birthday. I like to tell people I went to the mission field when I was 22, but I am trying to tell the truth this morning. So it was 1 week before my 23rd birthday. I'd been in the church for 3 years, just about 3 years when I went. The Foreign Missions Board, they took a chance on me. I used to think that you guys were so wise, you could do no wrong. Now that I'm on the board, I wonder at least about myself. I mean, you took a chance on me. And sometimes when we meet a candidate, not always, because some of them are so great, but sometimes you just have to stop and look, not at what they are, but project what they can become. When you step in the classroom, don't just look at the way they are, but look at what you think, what you know that they could become by faith. So my missions career started on the 13th of May in 1983. When I arrived in Lagos, Nigeria, Sister Portress has all the glamorous stories, the best stories about her arriving in Nigeria, so I'm not going to compete with that this morning. But when I arrived, I had already prepared my will. I thought my parents would try to bury me in the Catholic church that I came out of, so I made sure that that was all set up. I had my will prepared. I thought that I was just going to go. I'm going to be there for 3 or 4 months, and I'm going to die. My hourglass is going to run out right there in Nigeria, West Africa, and people are going to write about me in the 21st century. They're going to say, oh, he spent it all for Jesus, 3 months in Nigeria. Well, when that didn't work, I just kept on moving. That first night in Nigeria, I did not sleep one little bit, Jessica. I was prepared for my life to be taken away from me by those giant snakes that I'd find in that huge African city. Well, I have a few snake stories to tell you, but they're not in my notes, and I better go ahead and stick with this. The next hourglass moment that happened for me was in the year 1984, and on September 25th, 1984, to be exact, I married a young lady in the state of Alabama. Obviously, it was not Lynn Jewett, one of my first loves when I came to the UPC, but it was Sister Linda Poitras, and she's still with me this morning, and I took her back to Africa 3 weeks later. How many days ago was that? 11,725 days. If I was going to give you a rose for every single day, I would be penniless today. So instead, I took her back to Nigeria with all of my riches and all of my glory. And that first month, we had $12.79 that came in for missions. I heard way back then, you can just live off of love. I tried that. Living off of love and having a job is a much better option. Because I tried just living off of that love. And that was 11,725 days ago. I'm glad that the partners started coming in, because we may be non-existent today. You may be talking about ancient history, his story, and he's not even here this morning. March the 2nd, 1989, 10,111 days ago, Melinda was born, and that changed our lives forever. And I usually talk about Melinda and Kendra, but I call them Pride and Joy, so nobody can figure out who's who and what's what. September 18th, 1991, 9,177 days ago, Kendra was born, and Kendra's not here this morning, but I am so glad that both of my children serve the Lord. Most of you are not married. When you do get married and you have children, make sure you invest in your children, because they're going to live on, hopefully, after you are long gone. And I'm thankful this morning for my kids. The birth of my writing career, when the Lord spoke to me and said, yeah, I can use you to write. In fact, you must write. It's part of your ministry. And I took a napkin. And on that napkin, I wish I still had that napkin today, but outlined the entire portable Bible school curriculum and made up my mind. There were 14,000 villages in Ghana that did not have any church whatsoever. And I thought, we can devise a training program that can go into these villages. And we did that, and the Lord used it. And there were thousands of students in Ghana, and it's been translated into probably more languages than I even have knowledge of. And it was all born right there at an hourglass moment when I said, God, I want you to use me. I've got this one talent that you've given me. I want to take this one talent. I want to offer it back up to you. I want you to use me for your glory and honor. If you can use anything, why don't you just use me? Found this place in the kingdom in global missions and started writing. And these days I write mostly emails. I agree. Like 200 of them last night before I went to bed. Hopefully the writing of other things will come back again. I'm trying to push in that direction. But the writing career started right there. And as a result, I believe that the Lord used that for many people to come to the Lord. In 2007, it was the month of April. So the writing career, 7,345 days ago. 3,435 days ago, another hourglass moment for me. The Rodenbushes were there again when we started talking about the possibility of a global Bible school program, which eventually became known in 2007 as GATS, the Global Association of Theological Studies, now having overseas 434 Bible schools. Almost 400 of them are part of the GATS program. We wanted to change the face of Bible school education globally, and we had $200 in the bank. But if you'll take the vision that God has given to you, and you'll take the step of faith, even though you have only $12.79, even though you have only $200 in the bank, start where you're at. Be faithful in the small things, and God will continue to build upon that. If you put your hourglass on the altar and say, God, I want you to go ahead and use me, I guarantee to you that he will do exactly that. In January, we'll celebrate our 10th anniversary of the GATS program, and it continues to grow and grow. And just this morning, two more applications for that program. We are bent on world domination. When it comes to global Bible school education, we are bent on world domination. That's one of the reasons why we have that agreement with Revival by Design, because we believe that together we can turn the world upside down when it comes to global Bible school education. And it is being done. And thank you, Brother Shirley, because you are a great missionary in so many ways, but also when it comes to the GATS program. The next hourglass, 2,188 days ago, the closing days of the month of December in the year 2010, I received a telephone call in the morning. Sister Poitras was still asleep, and it was the doctor's office, and the doctor's office said, you have a tumor on your pancreas, and you need to consult with a surgeon. My life was turned totally upside down. I was totally shocked by that. The day after, we went out for lunch with some friends. I never spoke one word, because that's what happens to me when I'm really in that deep mode. I don't blab it all out. I keep it all in. I didn't say one word. I got back in the car and I said, that really wasn't fair. I wasn't fair to our friends today, because I agreed to go out for lunch, and I didn't say one word. And I said to her, do you know how I feel? And she said, Jim, I couldn't possibly know how you feel unless you told me. And I still remember that day. I said, I feel afraid. I feel faithless. I have preached faith. I have preached healing. I preached all of this. And now I am scared, literally, half to death. Well, the good news, hopefully the good news is this. 2,188 days later, I'm still here. It's still me, alive and well and pushing on. I thought, God, what can you teach me through this chaotic time in my life? And I haven't learned all of the lessons, but all he would tell me is go back to the Word. Go back to the basics. If you're encountering any type of problem this morning, go back to the Word of God. Go back to the very beginning of the Word of God and grab a hold of just a few words. In the beginning, God. Either God is or God is not. And I'm convinced that God is, and God is a rewarder of them that will diligently seek Him. I'm still convinced, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He's still going to be the director of your path, Emily. I'm looking for someone that will get behind me this morning. I still believe that there's a God that will order your footsteps today. I believe that He's ordering your footsteps right now. He's directing your path right now. And bringing this thing to a close, 1,895 days to go, September 1, 2011. And if you need a password to get into some of my stuff, you can probably use this, 9-1-2011. Now, I will tell you that my bank accounts don't use that password. 9-1-2011, because 9-1-2011, it was one of those days that changed the course of my life forever, when I was asked to be the director of education in AIM. And then more recently, as Brother Charlie mentioned 2 weeks ago, with Global Connections, it's another one of those God moments for me, that God did something. It was beyond me. People come up to me and say, oh, Brother Portridge, you did such an amazing job. I'd like to take the credit for that. I really would. But the credit belongs to God. God is the one that calls people into the global harvest. And when you've got 400 to 500 young people gathered together in one place with one thing in mind, and that is turning the world upside down for the name of Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ, I think that we have an extremely bright future in the United Pentecostal Church. So I said all of that to say this, that God can take you, your ordinary days, that are yielded up to Him, and He can use you if you will be faithful. He will use you in extraordinary ways. I said all of that to say this, that your life that you have been given today, no matter how old you are, how many days you have lived, how many days are still ahead of you, your life, it's your gift from God. Use it wisely. It's only one life. Even though your significant other calls you sweetie cat. Now, I don't know who would do that. But sweetie cat, realize that you do not have nine lives. It's just one life. And you need to give it up to the Lord. It's my life. It is my course. I have an assignment from God. And it is my ministry. And I'm going to give it back as a gift to the Lord. Because He deserves it. And He's the one that deserves all the glory and the honor. Winston Churchill once commented, as the musicians come back, there comes a special moment in everyone's life, a moment for which that person was born. Do you have to figure out that moment next week? Couldn't it be this morning? The moment for which a person is born, when he seizes it, when she seizes it, it becomes your finest hour. Bill Bright said, none of us have a long time here on planet Earth. It's our split second in eternity when we have an opportunity to invest our lives to help fulfill what the Lord has come into the world to do. What's your number? What are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do with your course? I'm not talking about hermeneutics, by the way. Your life's course. What are you going to do with your ministry? He's given you a gift. Is there any gift that you're going to give back to Him this morning?
Why don't we all stand to our feet?